good morning. I think I could just sit here and let Pastor John just say Jesus loves you. I just want to sit there all day and hear that. I almost believe it when he tells me that. That is so good. Great to be with you. Thank you for allowing Lori and I to spend some time. You're stuck with us for a few weeks. I hope you survive that. Don and Suzanne are somewhere off RR with some sabbatical time, which let me just tell you what a precious, special gift that is for a congregation to allow your pastor and his wife to do that. To be in a long-term ministry, as many of you, some of you know, is not an easy task, and to get away, to be refreshed, is so helpful, and I can't wait for him to come back with some renewed energy and vision for your future as he continues on. And so my goal is that we just survive for the next couple weeks, and more than that, hopefully that it builds up a little bit as well. That this is a refreshing time for you as well. Not that I've got so many great words to say, but I do know that there's some pretty good words in a book like this, and with the Holy Spirit, that he may just lead us, and that it may just be a great summer together. So, again, thank you for allowing us to spend a few weeks with you. And anytime we can get out of Phoenix in the summertime, I don't even need to hear from the Lord on that one. It's just, yeah, okay, we'll do that. I had my world kind of rattled a while back. And the church that we worship at, they're going through the Lord's Prayer. And we're taking it kind of line by line, and I was tracking with it, as most of you do. And, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I thought, you know, I've got this one. I love to praise the Lord. I love sitting here with you and worshiping the Lord and knowing he's holy, he's our Father. Great devotional about the provision and the protection of our Father. I'm all about that. And daily bread. Let me tell you, not only do I ask for daily bread, I've got loaves of bread I ask for. I'm all about the daily bread thing. And forgiveness, I mean, I need to go like almost on a daily shower and get the forgiveness that God's grace brings, because I'm certainly in need of it. And I don't know about forgiving others, but others need to forgive me. And I've got that part down. And lead me not into temptation. Give me victory in my life. I mean, I love that part, and I pray that often. Here's where I was convicted. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And here's where I got convicted. I don't know that I pray that often. If I do, I just kind of slide right on through it. It's like, yeah, kingdom come, thy will be done. Onward, let's get to the bread. You know, let's get to the mealtime. And the Lord kind of just stopped me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, do you realize what that's all about? So let me ask you a question. If you were to be able to just for a moment consider the best news that God has for you. You know, the gospel is called good news. The gospel, the good news. What is God's good news? If Jesus was going to walk in this door right here and just look at you and to every one of you, tell you what the best possible news you need to hear, I wonder what would that be? I mean, most of us would be like, I'm loved by God. I'm forgiven of my sins. I'm going to spend eternity with him. I mean, those are some good news things. Here's what I want you to consider today. Here's the best news ever. If Jesus were to walk in this room, he would tell you the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was obsessive. He was insistent. He was constant with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And we're not really kingdom people. We're Americans, you know. Kings and queens, there's something we watch on television when they get married, but we, you know, we're rebels from that kind of stuff. We're independent. We're, you know, give us our rights, give us our freedom. We don't really walk in the terms of kingdom, but Jesus would say, I just want you to hang on to what the power of the kingdom is all about. In your little yellow folder, I listed some verses of scripture that just kind of give you a taste. And as I could go on forever and ever, so good thing I only did one page of this. But just to kind of catch Jesus' thought pattern. When he's beginning his ministry in Mark, the first chapter, verses 14 and 15. In fact, Luke and Matthew would kind of summarize similar. It says, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He's going into the town of Galilee, and he's got, I'm going to give you good news. I'm going to give you good news. I am giving you the best possible news you've ever heard. Are you ready for it? What's it going to be? Here it is. The time has come, and the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. Proclaiming the best news possible. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. This is good stuff, Jesus would say. Luke, the 8th chapter. After this, Jesus is traveling around from town to town and village to village, proclaiming, here it is again, the good news. What would the good news be? The kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and they had some women, and they were hitting the road with this good news of the kingdom. The 9th chapter, Jesus calls the 12 together, his 12 disciples, gives them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases. I don't know what that looked like, but that's an infilling of some power right there, isn't it? Here's the boom power for you. Take these little power pills, and we're heading off to the villages, and we're going to take this world over. Here it is, and here's what you do with all that power. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. Can you kind of see that this is pretty big stuff to Jesus? The kingdom of God. In fact, after he goes to the cross, resurrects again in 3 days, and he spends some time with his followers, his disciples. Acts 1, verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men, gave themselves many convincing proofs that he was alive, and then he appeared to them over 40 days. I got 40 days left with you. I've got 40 days before I ascend to be with the Father. I have 40 days to really hone my message into you. Here's my message. The kingdom of God. You got to catch a hold of it. The kingdom of God. Paul, at the end of Acts, all of Acts is about the kingdom of God being advanced and the Holy Spirit coming and using people and taking the gospel, the good news, to the whole world. And Paul's done now. At the end of it, his last verse in the book of Acts, He's in his little kind of a house prison, really, for 2 years, and people are coming to him, and it says, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, at the end of everything, I want you to know, kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. Jesus was so wrapped up in that truth, and most daily Christians, it just goes flying right over our head. Because most Christians today, here's what we think the good news is. That I get a ticket to heaven. That there's a secret code or a secret handshake somewhere that I just, if I find out what that is, I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to know anything else. I don't want to spend any other time. I just want to go. Maybe every Christmas and Easter I'll show up just to make sure the code hasn't changed. But I need to know what that code is, because if it does, then I've got to do something different. But just remind myself, and some of us need like a monthly reminder or a weekly reminder, and that's the sum total of what it means for us to follow Jesus. Just give me the code to get into heaven. Kind of reminds me, there's an old movie, kind of a deep Christian movie, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Are you familiar with that one? Yeah, it's not that deep nor holy, but Monty Python, it's about King Arthur going after the Holy Grail, and him and his men come, and they think it's over in this castle, and there's this little itty-bitty bridge that goes from where they're at to the castle, and the Holy Grail's there, and there's this wizened, kind of crazy old bridge keeper who looks at them and says, I'll let you across, but you've got to answer 3 questions. And so the first guy goes up, give me your name, he gives him his name. What's your quest? He gives him his quest. What's your favorite color? He says, blue. No problem. Pass, and across his bridge he goes and into the castle. The next guy comes, he's kind of arrogant, kind of feeling his stuff. What's your name? Gives his name. What's your quest? Gives him the quest. And then he just throws this question out like he's not going to know. What's the capital of Syria? I don't know. Launches him down into the chasm. Next guy go, he's all trembling now. Oh, no, what's your name? Gives him his name. What's your quest? Gives the quest. What's your favorite color? Blue. Red. And off down. Finally, here comes Arthur. What's your name? Arthur, King of the Brits. What's your quest? To find the Holy Grail. And then there's this running gag. What's the velocity of a coconut-laden swallow? It kind of goes through the whole movie, and he looks at him, and the answer to that is another running gag. Depends whether it's European swallow or an African swallow. And when he answers it with that, the bridge keeper goes, well, I don't know. And boom, he's launched into the chasm. And that whole thing just goes on, and it just reminds, that's kind of what we are as Christians sometimes. We come to this bridge, we think, at the end of our life, and God's going to ask us some questions, and if we have the secret code, then we get into this castle called heaven where we live for eternity. And if we got that covered, we got that covered. And yes, indeed, the gospel is about forgiveness of sin. Yes, indeed, the gospel is about eternity and heaven and all that God has. Yeah, it's all of that, but it's so much more. It's so much more. The kingdom of God. The basic message is that Jesus is encapsulating this kingdom, and he's coming from heaven, and he's penetrating earth with his very presence, so that we who are just normal, ordinary people can actually catch not only a glimpse, but we can walk into his kingdom. We can be kingdom people. We can see and do and live with a touch of heaven here on earth that goes for eternity. I mean, it's the greatest news we ever have. We are not of this earthly kingdom only. There's another kingdom that we have. And so as you kind of look at it, I just want you to see yourself in three ways. I want you to see yourself today as a kingdom dweller and as a kingdom bringer and as a kingdom prayer. You pray the kingdom. And here's what I want you to do. First of all, let's just think about a kingdom for a minute, because since it's so foreign to us. When God made the heavens and the earth, he said, be fruitful to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the earth. Dominion is a kingdom term. Dominion, you're supposed to have a kingdom. There's supposed to be some ruling and reigning in this earth. And we catch a hold of this about age 2 when we start learning to talk. And the first words out of a 2-year-old is no. That's a kingdom. That's a kingdom word. Second word, mine. Those are kingdom words. And we just build on those words as we get older. No, mine. This is my kingdom. So that you're driving around on your little summer trip and you have your children in the back and it's like, Daddy, he touched me. They're saying, Mama, his foot is on my, you know, he's breathing on me. And finally you look around there and you put a line down the middle of that back seat and you say, you stay over there. And you stay over, that's your kingdom, and that's your kingdom. Don't advance your kingdoms, because you have to protect your kingdoms. You don't touch over there on his kingdom. You don't put your foot over on her. Keep your breath to yourself till we get there. That's kingdom stuff. We're on this whole kingdom thing. What's ours? What's mine? Where can my will be done? Where can what I want to have happen? That's really our kingdom. The only problem is we're sinful people. And our kingdoms get broken and dirtied and messy and sinful. And before long, we've got these horrible kingdoms that we then marry our kingdom to another kingdom and advance our kingdom. And then we have family kingdoms. And soon we have neighborhood kingdoms. And then we have school kingdoms. And we have sports team kingdoms like the Red Sox Nation and the Raider Nation and, you know, Roll Tide, you know, the evil kingdom of Alabama. All that. We just continue. And then we have city kingdoms and we have state and country and governments, and pretty soon if you just lap them all together, that's an earthly kingdom. It's the kingdom of earth that comes together that reflects that. And Jesus said, let me tell you about another kingdom. And he starts teaching in parables. over half of his parables are about the kingdom. He goes, you know, kingdom's like a field that has a treasure in it. It's so special that if you found that treasure, you would sell everything by that field. The kingdom is like a lump of dough. It has a little yeast in it. What that yeast does to that dough, that's the kingdom. Kingdom's like a mustard seed. The kingdom, and he just keeps on talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is like a banquet table, except for instead of inviting all the notable people, you go out and you invite all the people that have these deep needs all over and you bring them. I'll tell you what the kingdom's like, Jesus said. Kingdom's like, well, it's for little children enter. In fact, the greatest in the kingdom are little children. And pretty soon as you listen to this, you start to realize this is a different kind of kingdom. This is a kingdom not for the proud and the arrogant. This is a kingdom of servants. This is a kingdom that looks out for others. This is a kingdom not filled with gossip and malice and injustice. In fact, this is a kingdom, like Paul says, it's peace. It's righteousness, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. And you start to realize, that kingdom is so different. This kingdom of heaven that he's describing, so different than the kingdom of earth. But then he throws this out at us. Pray. And I'm thinking, I'm praying I can get out of the kingdom of earth and get into the kingdom of heaven as soon as possible. A bus, beam me up, Scotty. I don't know, but the way this world's going, I want into that one and out of that. And he never says, pray that you can get out of that nasty old kingdom of earth quickly or soon. He says this, pray that thy kingdom comes. Pray that thy will be done. The same way it's up in heaven, that can be done on earth. That you can be intersected by the kingdom of God and that you're here for a reason. One of these days you're going to go to heaven. One of these days you'll spend eternity with him. One of these days he's going to make everything right. But until then, his kingdom dwells in you and you're different because of that. And to pray, God, your kingdom come in me. Please, come in me. It's a surrender. It's a submission. It's a dying to my own kingdom. It's dying to my own will and saying, set residence up here so that not do I just wait until I can dwell someplace else in his kingdom. I recognize it's a kingdom that's right in here. In fact, the Pharisees one time asked Jesus, where's this kingdom at that you're talking about? He said, it's within us. It's in here. His kingdom dwells in us, which makes us citizens of that kingdom. We're dwellers in the kingdom. And then he says, If you can take that kingdom and let that kingdom flow through you so that you're kingdom bringers. I mean, really, the answer to this whole prayer is Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's Jesus, his king. He's the kingdom that comes on earth as he is in heaven. All of a sudden he touches, and then as he sets up residence in every one of us, in the same way his kingdom flows through him and his ministry, now that he's back away, he says this, I want to bring my kingdom to make a difference to this world, but I need you. I need each of you to be a kingdom bringer. Through you, by you, with you, the lost can be found. The darkness can be brought light. Those who are beat up and broken and the dead can be made alive again through the kingdom, but you have to bring it. You're going to have to bring it. So often we want the kingdom to stop with us. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Don't stop there. I want it to go through you. John Calvin said the task of the church today, this is back hundreds of years ago, the task of the church today is to take the invisible kingdom and make it visible. That's our task. That's our role. We're kingdom dwellers. Come and live in me. We're kingdom bringers, let the kingdom flow through me. And we're kingdom prayers. Pray, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Why would we pray that? Because there's some only God things that we can't do. There are some places we can't be. There are some strongholds we can't quite tackle. But God can. And God, if your kingdom can be thrown at them, if you will, we want to throw God at them through our prayers. God, I don't know what to do about my children. I don't know what to do about my grandkids. I don't know what to do about my parents. I don't know if I can ever reach my neighbors. But God, you can, and I want to pray your kingdom upon them. God, I don't know what to do about our country. I want to throw you on. God, when we look at the kingdom of earth, oh my goodness, it's so messy. It's so horrible. I mean, we don't even know what our future looks like. Is North Korea going to get, you know, bomb us? Is Iran going to get their nuclear weaponry up? Is the world going to end in a big flashball? I don't know. But God, you know, and you could do something about that. Our children are afraid to go to school because they don't know if they're going to get shot. That's our country. But God, you can do something about that. I don't know what else to do, but it's bigger than me, God, but it's not bigger than you. And God, have we got any better than where we've been with injustice and with racism and with hatred? And all? God, we need, and we pray and we pray and we pray. God, I'll do everything I can, but I come short. But your arm is strong enough. And I pray to be a God prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love Jesus as he closes out the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you know, we got a lot of stuff we worry about. He said, you know, what we want to eat, our food, drink, clothes we wear. So we spend a lot of time worrying and fearful about all that. But he says, you know what? The pagans do the same thing. But our Father has it. He knows. He's got that covered. So here's what I'd like you to do. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Seek first his kingdom. So he comes with one message, it's kingdom. He comes with one basic idea that I'm gonna model it, I'm gonna show it, I'm gonna message that kingdom, and that it's gonna start in you, and it's gonna grow in you, and it's gonna come through you to others if you can just be kingdom-minded people. I made a little commitment through all that. That every day of my life, for a while at least, I don't know if I'll get through the whole Lord's Prayer, but I want to spend some time on that one because I've neglected it. I need the reminder to be seeking the kingdom of God, that up there can come down here and make all the difference. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the kingdom of God. It is good news. And Lord, I pray that even this morning, your kingdom would penetrate into our hearts. Do some only God things in our midst, in our families, in our relationships, in this church. Only God can open the ears of a deaf person to hear the truth. Only God can open the eyes of someone who refuses to see. Only God can melt a heart. Only God can touch a body, make it whole again. Only God. There's only God things you can do. I pray that you would do that with us, that you would allow us to be so in love with you that we would be about your message and your mission, and we would advance the kingdom to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.